very good Tuesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, I've been listening to the Eagle games when they're not on TV here, which is a kind of when you live in this part of New York, it's a problem. Yeah, so because you got the Giants, you got the Jets, you got even the Bills seem to slip in ahead. So I use the app to listen to the Eagle game. Yeah. So you can listen to the show. Same way. I've actually occasionally done that in the car particularly. You can plug, you got your phone going, you got the Bluetooth, you pull up, something you want to listen to. Who just texted yesterday or tweeted yesterday that where were they going? They had a long drive, they said. That's one of the best parts of the replay too. Starting at 6, even if you heard the show, you got 6 straight hours of listening of horse talk, right? I mean can't get it too many places like that. So that's why the network is the greatest. Basically, 6 days a week. Hearing back from Kevin Kirstein, he will join us in a little bit this morning. I texted him about Bellarmine last night. I was doing some things and looking forward to the holiday weekend on the racing front, actually, and was going through the overnights and seeing what to look forward to. And I came across the Bellarmine Duke game, and they've just started, really. And when I looked up, it was 7-6 Bellarmine. So I just texted KK. I said, did they hold on? They were up 7-6. So I guess they covered, he said. Nice. They got beat 7-2 by 17, but they covered. KK starts us off this morning in a little bit, and later Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, because, of course, we're off tomorrow. We're off Thursday. And back on Friday, all right? That is the itinerary, because, I'm sorry, there's just too much good racing, as always. It took us a couple of years to get into that. For a long time, we tried, I think we did some Thursdays, Fridays, and we're just missing too much. I mean, not with what we've got to look forward to. And, of course, there's important racing right on Friday, most notably, which we'll talk about with KK. You've got, starting at Churchill, you got the Clark. I saw the sky is falling reaction to the Clark. There's occasions where I'm sure the cigar won't be up to snuff either. The late season high level type races, it's tough. It's tough after Breeders' Cup, the Clark is kind of bandied, I think, back and forth. Actually, should pull that up and see how often it, got into grade one. Then it's, I think, is a couple of different times, I think, has then tripped backwards to a two and so forth. There's occasions where there's going to be grade two and grade three horses that make up a field. Horses that not every grade one race can have, 6-7 grade one winners or grade one placed horses. They all start somewhere, right? And you do have, you've got a little bit of a emergent type, knocking on the door, potentially grade one horses. We just had Breeders' Cup. You're gonna have horses take off until later in the year. I mean, you do have the Derby winner. You got the Derby winner who's dancing the dances, right? Isn't that what everybody wants? I don't know. That's just the way they line up on occasion. Mrs. Revere on Friday as well at Churchill. Tomorrow or Thanksgiving, the Cardinal in the Fall City. And actually, even in advance of that, today, Zia Park has got the championship card with, I think, seven stakes from $250,000 on down. I think it's $900,000 worth of stakes action. Yeah, there it is. $250,000. The Derby and the Oaks. And $100,000 championship. That's for the older horses, or three and ups, actually, nine furlongs. And then there's one, two, three, four, $75,000 stakes. So $900,000 worth of action today at Zia. Yeah, actually, I got to go over the Mahoning Valley from yesterday. Had, you know, had that Steel Valley sprint and Distaff. We'll get to that in a second. But nice card at Zia. And there's also tomorrow, that's today, 22nd, Tuesday, tomorrow, three nice little stakes at Parks that have been developed here over the last year or two. The Turkey Trot, the Let's Give Thanks, and the Cornucopia. The Turkey Trot, I've said this, I've explained this, I think, before, where I grew up in Manchester, Connecticut, has had a 5-mile road race for years. When I say years, I mean going way back, and it became an important race. And you'd get, you know, for a long time it was very local, and you had some very good, you know, New England distance runners, intermediate distance runners. And some local characters like Amby Burfoot, very famous, won a few bunch of times. The famous doctor, what was his name, that used to run barefoot. Yeah. 5 miles. And then in the late 60s, early 70s, the Kenyans heard about it. And the next thing you knew, we had Kip Keno and the like coming for the Mary Decker Slaney ran in it one year. She was on a comeback, whatever, from an injury, I think. And she won the, I think Mary Decker won the Turkey Trot. Very, anybody that grew up in Connecticut knows about the Manchester, the City of Village Charm. I should get Shapazian on here. Shapazian he grew up in my hometown. Anyway, so the Turkey Trot, the Cornucopia, and the Let's Give Thanks. As mentioned, on Thanksgiving, the Cardinal in the Fall City, Del Mar has got the red carpet. Going 11 furlongs, fillies and mares. Starting the Turf Festival, the Hollywood Turf Festival, all throughout the weekend. The Thanksgiving Classic, which drew a nice field. I think I got that right here. At Fairgrounds, one of the great traditions in all of racing, Thanksgiving at Fairgrounds. One of the best, I mean, historically, one of the best meals in all of racing is the Thanksgiving dinner at Fairgrounds. The rest of Friday, the Comley, the Long Island, and the Aqueduct Turf Sprint. Those are set. Card okay on Friday. The Hollywood Turf Cup goes on Friday. A couple of small stakes, the Bender and the Politely at Laurel. Penn's got the Shamrock Rose, $200,000 for the 2-year-old fillies. Going six, and then into the weekend, and we'll concentrate the weekend action on Friday. New York, the Red Smith, the Fall Highweight, the Central Park, Churchill with the second, and KK will talk about this in a couple of minutes, the second of the Stars of Tomorrow card, which is anchored by the Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club, the grade twos. $400,000 for each of those, and then some smaller affairs, the Fern Creek, Goldenrod too, as well. The Goldenrod, forgot about the. I said, what did I say? Goldenrod, Kentucky Jockey Club, and Goldenrod. Yeah, Del Mar, the Sea Biscuit, will get run on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the native diver. Laurel comes back on Saturday with the City of Laurel, the Dickie Small, and the safely capped Woodbine, the good two-year-old season enders, the Gray and the Mazarine. It's a great weekend. Churchill also closes out on Sunday with the Commonwealth. And Aqueduct has got those fall races like the Autumn Days and the Tepin, and also the Discovery. And I think, I from what I can tell, it's gorgeous today, but from everything I can tell, I think we're going to be all right in the Northeast. Let's take a quick look. We had a little incident here. The power went out. I didn't even tell Ted Casey this. About 10 of the power went out for just like, you know, a minute. But that's enough to have to reboot the modem. So I had to sit through that, and it got up to about 8. So I didn't tell you, Casey. I got enough, you know, enough to worry about. But it within a couple of minutes. About a minute and a half. Yesterday Casey said yesterday he had one, a power flick. It's the worst. We used to get them more often here than it's been. Knock on wood, it's been good for a while. There used to be. While we were on the air, it happened. Oh my God! So we're lucky that that's interesting. I don't think backup. Backup generator. Have we ever thought about that? Oh, at 8:50. Okay. Oh, all right. With 10 minutes to go. No, okay. Very cool. Yeah, if it had happened while we were on the air, it's going to be a gorgeous week downstate. It's in the 50s all week, and the only threat of rain doesn't come until Sunday. So turf is going to be A-okay in New York. I don't know if we're going to keep getting crazy, you know, long shots wiring fields. That was tough. You know, but actually, Andy... Andy's going to be on later. He's always warded about that. About at this time of year, the turf is funky. It can be spongy and just, you know, even though it might be quote unquote firm, it's not, you know, the whole root system is changing. It's dying basically, at the end of the growth cycle. So, weird things happen. So keep that in mind. No turf racing past Sunday in New York. That'll be the end of the turf season. Did Callie say yesterday that they're done with turf at Laurel? I think so. And we'll get another update from Fairgrounds regarding their turf situation. They're hoping that maybe a month's worth of growth. I mean, it's again not a great time to be growing fresh grass, say the least. We're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby future wager, which came out yesterday. This is Pool Two. During Breeders' Cup week, that was not a great time to slip in a future wager pool. But they did, and so here's the second one. You'll be able to have a little bit more of a focus. And you know, one thing you probably, if you didn't pay attention to the first round, 40 betting interests. So we're heading in the right direction. A much wider array, better than 24. It's not every horse, it's not every 3-year-old, but it's a positive step. This is also the future wager. And we'll discuss that with Sid. I sent the future wager list to Sid to consider and see what he thinks. And here again, you know, like for instance, last year, you know, Rich Strike, Keen Ice, all others. But this time, instead of 23, you're talking about 39 sires. So a little wider, there's potential for some different considerations. This should be fun, and of course you get the exact options, etc. So we'll talk about that with Kev in just a couple of minutes, and got a couple of other things. Oh, we got to get a Tampa in. It's opening day tomorrow, right? So we will do some of that too, right? That's one thing that's sort of skipped or slipped attention earlier. So let's see about. I can tell you that Jason Beam gave us, I got a terrific text from him the other day after, you know, giving him the push, the mother of all Tampa area pushes, Christino's. He finally got there the other day, and he said it's exactly 4 minutes from where he stays. Yeah. So he finally got there the other day, and he loved it. So you'll get a Christino's report. I told him, I said, you better make sure they know who you are, because, you know, the tables start to gets very tough to get in there during high season, during the winter. So we'll hopefully get a chat in with Jason as well. And opening day, you know, it's got the standard Tampa feel to it. Variety of, I think it's a maiden special action for older. You got maiden claiming 2-year-olds. You've got a first level allowance field 10 as the opening day feature. Most of the familiar names and faces lining up as well. So we'll get some of that in with Tampa starting. And I told you about Zia. Here's Churchill for KK. Let me put that together. And all right, I think we're in business. We still got plenty of, I didn't yesterday, because the first 90 minutes, more than 90, the first 100 minutes devoted to conversation of Heisa. And want to thank Eric and Alan for their time and, you know, for their insight. This is going to take time to play out. And, you know, nothing is chiseled in stone yet. So everybody's got to just roll with the punches. I mean, I see tons of, you know, either fatalistic or, yeah, this is, Tina forgot her phone this morning. And so I suppose I could have buried it downstairs somewhere, but her phone will go off like every, I don't know, 36 minutes or whatever, however long a school period is at Salem Central. But, you know, some of the people that are, you know, making declarations in one direction or another, nothing's decided here. This is going to play out, and, you know, just let the legalities, you know, we'll go from there. All right. And Jason is going to join us. And I think he's going to join us right after KK and ahead of Sid. Andy later. Andy and all got to get to Popo too as well today. And actually, Popo, you might have, actually, he will have some Thursday, maybe the two Churchill stakes. On Form to Win. So, quick hit. Let's give you the rundown from Mahoning before I call KK. And you had those five stakes that comprised basically the late action at Mahoning. And Looks like they had a decent day. They had some nice fields in the stakes. Lionistic wins the First Lady. Actually, is the second choice, 6-5 over the 4-5 favorite. Shortish group in that First Lady. This is an Animal Kingdom filly, and you know, the Ohio variety. Jeff Radosevich sent out for Michael Annacino. Horse bred by Ramondi Farms. You had the Distaff, Tivis, the Tale of a Cotty filly. This one bred by Hilburn and homebred for Doc Gorham. Rad Ortiz, who made the trip out to Mahoney. Pretty cool. And Rad also won the Oaks, the $100,000 three-year-old race, the Wagilia, and a May Foal, Disco Ebo. For Butchie, Butchie Reed, went off his second choice. Tivis was basically co-favorite with Dancing at Midnight, who was second for Steve Manley. But Disco Ebo with IRAD at 4-1 over the 6-5 favorite, My Kentucky Girl, for Jonathan Wong. And in the big feature, the $250,000 Steel Valley Sprint, Field of 11, and Tejano Twist, 7-2. Second choice for Chris Hartman and J.D. Thoroughbreds and partner Joey Keith Davis. Tom Durant bred this practical joke, gelding. Wins the sprint, the three-year-olds. Chris Landeros, and I tell you, Chris booted this horse home and ran down, knocker down, the Travis Murphy trainee with Kylie Jordan, and it really came flying, came from the absolute back of the pack to win. Nice job by Chris. And then the last of the stakes, the Cardinal handicap, Dougie Doro, off by seven widening lengths for Jerry Sparks. 6-year-old Mia Doro gelding, who went off at even money. Altissimo, who's now 9 years old for Richard Zielinski. Good old Altissimo was second, a 10-1. Nice. Good for Altissimo. That's a hard knocker, right? Yeah, hard knocker. Going to reach for Kevin, and we'll get some more of the weekend results as well. And I'm negotiating with Jason Beam. Jason's at the gym, so we're seeing when's best for him. All right, and KK joins us, and I had to get out in front of this Kentucky Derby future wager because we completely whiffed on the first one, KK.
Yeah, we sort of snuck that first pull up there for everyone, and you know that was a fun pull because it was, you know, trying to figure out, you know, where there was value before that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And so we had the first pool that ran Tuesday through Thursday of Breeders' Cup week. And then now we're coming back with the normal spot, which was used to be pool one, but now it's pool two this year, the second of six future wager pools.
And, you know, I've got it. It's on the desk somewhere because I was traveling, but I did print it out. And how did the first pool end up?
You know, you know, 116 or 17,000 and change. And it was really a test run for us because, you know, we've been kicking around the idea for a few years to try and do something midweek and just sort of like, you know, thinking of when gamblers' money is tied up at the windows and, you know, Saturdays and Sundays are always big days at the racetrack. And so just trying to, you know, test the waters and see how things worked out. And I think it was a fun opportunity to try and, you know, get some value on horses that were in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile that, you know, were going to run there. And then also the horses that ran on the Stars of Tomorrow one card at Churchill on October the 30th. And so the Future Wager Committee, I can tell you, had probably one of the more difficult tasks from my tenure of trying to figure out the pool for pool one. Pool two was a little easier, but pool one, trying to, you know, come up with 38 individual 2-year-olds at that time was a little bit difficult.
Good point. And even this group, to be honest, there's going to be some names that are going to be fresh faces, I think, for people.
Yeah, you know, sort of we went about it as, you know, we knew what the horses did in that first pull, what their odds were. And, you know, we look at what they're trending at and some of the major Las Vegas sports books. And so, you know, we always had those in our back pocket. We were trying to get some new interests in the pool, and there's some unique names in here that I think, you know, at this stage in the Kentucky Derby picture with, you know, we're less than 6 months away till the first Saturday of May. And as we know, there's a lot of things that can change between now and then. And so, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what are some names that, you know, maybe some folks can get some value on with, you know, 40 interests in the future wager this year. You know, there's going to be horses that are going to be more than 100-1, as we saw in that first pool. And so that really tends, you know, parimutuel, you don't see that very often. And so parimutuel, you're able to get some value on horses that, you know, may make a splash as a three-year-old that, you know, sort of aren't heard of right now at this stage.
Exactly. And from that standpoint, probably some research is going to be necessary. And for, you know, for those that can dive in, take a look at some sibling strength, look at some families in terms of, you know, the expectation for how, you know, how horses are going to develop from an age standpoint. You know, then there are some names that have already, you know, I think flickered across the screen, like a horse, specifically Extra Anejo, for instance, right? I mean, there's one that, you know, if you've heard Steve Asmussen, after that was the greatest, one of the greatest responses ever. Steve, what's next for, what are you pointing for Extra Anejo? The Derby. that's what we're looking at. That was made me laugh that day after the Extra Anejo maiden win.
And he's, you know, the perfect example of getting action in the first pool. He's going to get action in the second pool. We're going to see him on Saturday, likely at Churchill Downs. Not sure if he's going to go in the jockey club or he'll go in that two-turn allowance race. Still waiting to find that out. Entries will be taken for that on Wednesday. But yeah, he's one, you know, he was tabbed at 15-1 on the line. You know, he's going to trend probably south of there parimutuel. And he's going to garner a lot of attention. And, you know, to go into that sire wager, he's by Into Mischief, which is always a stallion that a lot of people like to pay attention to with the two-turn classic pedigrees. And so, you know, maybe that's an instance where you try and, you know, find a little bit of value, if you can, in Into Mischief, where you get all of his progeny instead of just Extra Anejo, who will be pretty well-backed in that future wager.
Well, exactly. And so, I mean, predictably, the, you know, even with the expanded format, 3-5 on the all others, that's to be expected. All other fillies makes an appearance here too, 80-1. And I thought that was, I know we had that last year, but that is a consideration. Then going through the other individual, you know, prices that are, you know, less than, let's say, what, 30-1, give or take, or it's probably that first section, 10-1 on Forte, which should be expected. We go up to who next after 10-1? Then Extra Neo, actually, right? 15-1?
Extra Neo was made the second choice. He's 15. Giant Mischief is probably going to take some action for Brad Cox. He's undefeated. He won that allowance race at Keeneland on Breeders' Cup weekend and upset the one of the Baffert Arabians in that race. And so he's going to take some interest. Loggins, I know, is taking interest right now in Vegas, and so he's probably going to get some attention in this pool as well. And so those are, you know, the most logical. Loggins we saw in that last pool, and, you know, he took, you know, considerable attention there, and he's, you know, a little bit forgotten about at this time. But then again, I saw you know took another hit out in at Caesars, so you know, maybe he'll take some more hits parimutuel here in this pool.
Do we have, and I'm just looking for it now on the website, do we have access to the Briz PPs?
Yeah, you want me to send them to you right now as we're doing the show live?
Sure. But sometimes don't they go up? Aren't they going to go up at...
They will go up, I'm going to guess, as soon as I send the email after we're done the show, because I didn't realize they were up there, weren't up there yet. They will go up there as soon as we're done the segment on KentuckyDerby.com/future wager.
Glad I asked. Doing the work so you don't have to. The who's involved here? Who's involved here that you think is completely under the radar? Because you're good for this. You're standing up there with Clocker John some mornings, and some you know, some nifty 2-year-old comes down the lane and John's calling the trainer and telling him what they did. Who's caught your eye that people don't know about?
You know, it's, you know, at this stage, I'm one of back horses that are going to be north of 80-1 because anything can happen between now and the Kentucky Derby. And so there's a couple on this list that, you know, I'm interested in to see what they do. Again, the pool closes on Sunday, so those will be the final odds when Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern when they close. There's a horse that's a maiden out in California named Navy Man for Michael McCarthy, who's I thought was very impressive last time out, going three quarters. And he lost to a Baffert trainee, Massimo. And, you know, he's by Bolt Doro out of a Distorted Human Mare. He looks like he's one that wants to stretch out in distance. I think he could be one of the longest shots on the board. He's going to be one that's I'm going to be interested in backing in this pool. There's another one in this pool as I'm scrolling through my list named Capture the Flag for Shug McGahee, who's, you know, got the Coolmore ownership group. He won at Saratoga by 3 lengths, going 5.5. He's by Quality Road out of a Warfront mare, and he hasn't had a work right now. And so you look at that in the past performances, and that draws up red flags. But we got the confirmation from Shug McGahee. He's just getting back into training in South Florida right now. And so he's definitely one of the ones that is going to be a longer price on the board. He's 99-1 on the morning line. And, you know, You don't see, you know, any works on his page, but he was one of those new interests that we wanted to use. We didn't use him in the first pool because he didn't show any of those works. We, you know, sent a text to Shug, and he's getting ready to get back and going, and probably will be in that South Florida Road to the Kentucky Derby trail in the next, you know, 6-8 weeks. So he's another one that I'm going to back in the second pool.
We should mention, you mentioned Shug, and I hadn't gotten to it yet, but Shug has got a 15-day bench for an ace promazine overage. And, of course, ace, you know, and a $500 fine. This was for Smokin' T, who was second in the Audubon Stakes. And, you know, ace is a mild tranquilizer that's typically used when horses, you know, if a horse is antsy getting shoes, if a horse that might get ace for, you know, any number of reasons to basically, you know, calm them down. And just Shug just obviously, he said he waived a right to a, you know, to a more formal hearing. You know, happens. Although, you know, I'm just thinking, he does have, I wonder what that means. He's got the filly comes back this weekend.
Kathleen O, right?
Kathleen O, I think, comes back in the Comley, right?
I don't know. You know, I've seen racing commissions issue before, like they can start their days on, you know, X amount of date. Like, you know, it's happened. I've seen in Kentucky before. It's happened after the fall meet. So that's probably will be the case, I'm assuming.
There you go. All right. And thank you for that. Thank you for the list. And I'm just glancing to get reminded of a few that might capture the flag, a 61 buyer to start the career. You know, boy, here's Brad Cox with that Stone Street, the Bolt Doro out of the Quiet American mare. How about that? Corona Bolt.
He just broke his maiden at Churchill, and so there was a split division of that 6.5 furlong maiden special weight on Friday, I believe that was. And
wow.
I'm doing my dates right. And so he won that second division of that race. Bromley, who's a couple horses behind him at 99-1. He's the number three horse individually in this pool. That was the split division. He ran, you know, a bit slower. We decided to use them both, but Corona Bolt was definitely impressive winning that day. He never looked like a loser around the entire racetrack. And so I think he's going to be, you know, just another one of the Brad two-year-old army that you'll likely see somewhere between Fairgrounds or Arkansas or New York or Florida. I think he's going to have to ship many around the country because he's loaded.
You know, here's Darwin Bannock with Hal. And this is an Accelerate out of a pure prize mare, going to be 100-1. Broke the maiden, of course, at Woodbine, going 7/8. That alone is a positive indice. Then won the display with an 84 buyer. We talked to Darwin going back probably to October or September. And that's an interesting horse. In fact, you know, some of the first crop, second crop types are intriguing in, you know, when you look at these lists. How about 100-to-1 shot for Todd Pletcher and Vinny Viola and Mike Rapoli? Expect more. The City of Light, maybe this is a Belmont horse, but City of Light out of a Tappet mare and $350,000 Keeneland yearling, a May foal. So this could be a little bit of a late developer. Expect more, who is a maiden right now, but debuted okay out of the very fast Arabian Night race. So expect more might be an interesting. There's plenty of intrigue in here, and because we love Bo Lane, I got to mention the recent, fairly recent maiden winner. 10 days later, this is McPeak, and this is one of Bo Lane's productions, a collected colt for Aaron's Del Frisco, and broke the maiden at Keeneland, going a mile and a 16th. 10 days later, 60-to-1. Horses already got four starts under the belt.
And you look, you know, at the first pull where this horse was used, and granted, that was some recency because, you know, that pull ran just 10 days or so after the horse broke its maiden at Keeneland and got bet a lot, 39-to-1 in that first pull, the Derby future wager. And so definitely was taking some action there. And so that's why the 60, I think, was hung on this horse because of that action. May get a little bit forgotten about because there have been some horses that, you know, are in this pool that have done well since that maiden race. And so that's why I think it was a little bit north of that 39-to-1 of where this horse closed at, but did take considerable action. So shocking action to me. I wasn't expecting him to take as much action as he did in that first pull, but closed 39-to-1.
Well, and don't be afraid, and when you look through these PPs, don't be afraid to highlight the horses that have won at Churchill. That includes Paulo Lobo for Larry Best, a mastery colt, Bromley, 74 buyer, winning at Churchill just the other day. What, was that Friday or Saturday? And you've got, I mentioned that Corona Bolt is a Churchill winner. Curly Jack, of course, is 2-for-2 for Amos. And Michael McLaughlin, I'd go through and highlight any of the horses that have already produced a W at the Downs.
And we'll be expected to see a lot of these horses in the pool on Saturday at Churchill, which is the Stars of Tomorrow 2 program, all two-year-old races that day. Features the Kentucky Jockey Club, features a very competitive two-turn allowance race. And, you know, those Stars of Tomorrow cards have produced more than 50 grade one winners, you know, Derby winners have come out of those races at Stars of Tomorrow. And so it'll be a really special program on Saturday. Once again, entries will be drawn for that tomorrow. And so be sure there'll be a lot of horses in this pool that'll run Saturday. And maybe that some that'll run well, maybe some that'll, you know, maybe finish a, you know, troubled off the board that'll get more value in the pool than there would be before those races on Saturday.
A quarter of this field, 10 out of 40. And of course, well, make it really 10 out of 38, have own a win at Churchill. Bromley, Corona Bolt, Curly Jack with two. Dennington, another McPeak that just broke the maiden at Churchill at on the slop going back to October 30th. You've also got Frank's Honor, another McPeak, maiden breaker at the Downs. And how about 2-for-2 Gulfport, of course, for Asmussen. Joking Way for Asmussen as well, a practical joke colt for Winchell, $270,000 purchase. Loggins, that of course turned in that courageous effort in the Breeders' Futurity, and certainly the Breeders' Futurity I pulled myself up from saying franked. I'd slap myself if I had said franked. Rocket Can. For Bill Mott, the Frank Fletcher Into Mischief, Tappet's Conquest, a maiden winner as well for Cox, and LaPenta and Bob Edwards. Those are your horses that have already won at Churchill.
That's, you know, 6 months before the first Saturday in May, Steve. It's always good to get that one start over the racetrack and I think there's a couple more that don't have a start yet that are going to be on that Saturday card. Mr. Ripple is one who Safi Joseph, remember last year, what a Barrio who came shipping up for that Kentucky Jockey Club. He's been dubbed in the communications office as the White of Barrio of this year, and so he's nominated for that jockey club. I'm not sure if he's making the trip or not from South Florida, but he's been working solidly at Palm Meadows, broke his maiden by 9 1/4 lengths down there. He's 99-1, and wouldn't be surprised maybe if he's as was dubbed in the office this year's White of Barrio.
Well, we will tell you what we'll do. We'll hear from Friday. We'll hear from Marty. And yesterday, of course, happy birthday to Marty McGee. And the next birthday up is going to be Jay Pribman on December 7th, the three of us, bing, bang, bong. And we'll also get Scully. We'll get Scully's. He's always good for some future wager punches. The sire pool, and the sire pool also will have 40. And that's going to be interesting because there's probably a name or two that, in past years would not have made the list that would have been part of all others, depressing their potential. Going to go over the sire future wager with Sid, get some of his thoughts. But, you know, you take those PPs, look for some names that, that might have more than one. I mean, beside the obvious, the gun runners and the into mischiefs, look for some other options. Street Sense, for instance, he's got a couple on there. Uncle Mo, you'll come up with something. And then there's venerable types like Curlin and so forth. Candy Ride. Who else?
The key with this, Steve, is of course, as in last year, horses that are trained by trainers that are suspended by Churchill Downs are, not in the future wager because we're assuming that they're pointing for the Derby at this time. However, right off the bat in the sire future wager, you look at a horse like Arrogate, who Cave Rock is by Arrogate. And so, you want to back a horse and assume that, something could happen like last year and they're transferred at the last minute to be able to run in the Derby, this is your opportunity. Arrogate's 8-1. He, of course, has Cave Rock in here. You have the All Other Sires was interesting because they closed 7-2 in last year's pool, but again, I think that's a moot point for this year because there's 39 individual sire interests this year, so there's a lot of the people that were backing that All Others that I think were just backing it because numbers wise you could, but with much more sires in the game this year, that's one of the ones that I think, may not take as much attention as it did last year.
Interesting. Well, we'll see what Sid's thoughts are in just a few minutes, top of hour two. Let's get a roundup before you get to sound off on Thanksgiving. Let's get a little bit of a look and roundup of this, the weekend action as we've already got it, the holiday portion, and that includes the Cardinal and the Mrs. Revere on Thanksgiving Day, and then the Clark in particular on Friday.
Yeah, it's always a special week to close things out at the Fall Meet at Churchill. There's 9 stakes left to go, and we get the action kicked off on Thanksgiving, which is a special day of racing here in the Ville. There's more than 7,000 turkey dinners that are expected to be consumed on Thursday at Churchill Downs, and so the chefs and teams are going to be working around the clock to be able to prepare all of that food for the folks that'll be celebrating Thanksgiving at the track. And then Friday, of course, is Clark and Mrs. Revere, and the Clark features Rich Strike, and we're sort of in that rebuilding stage, I think, with a lot of the horses that are in the older handicap division, because you look at the Breeders' Cup Classic, there's only what Taba and Rich Strike remain that aren't retired, and so you look at that and say, it's sort of a rebuilding year. And so Rich Strike, it's great to have him back. He's looking to become the first Derby winner to win the Clark as a 3-year-old since 1901. And Silver Charm won the Clark in his 4-year-old year in 1998, but it hasn't been done as a 3-year-old since 1901. So history on the line for the Clark. Saturday starts of tomorrow too. Kentucky Jockey Club, Goldenrod, the Ed Brown, the Fern Creek, four stakes events that day, and we closed things out on Sunday with a 12-race card. And first post at 1 o'clock Eastern, with the exception of Thursday. That'll get underway at a special 11:30 a.m. Eastern time to get folks home in time for Thanksgiving dinner if they want to come out and gamble their heads off first at the track.
Well, you bring up the 1901 Derby, the winner being?
His Eminency.
His Eminence.
Yeah. You know, close, right?
You're very
close. The course actually was only for three-year-olds back until 1901. It was a three-year-old only race. And so there's been 14 Derby winners that have won the Clark, because back in the day, that's, you know, sort of what they did, is they would run the Derby and then they would run the Clark, because the Clark was in May. And then they would, you know, open old Latonia racetrack and outside of Cincinnati. And so that was, you know, the sort of the path for a lot of trainers. They would go to the Derby and then the Clark.
Well, and Jimmy Wingfield aboard His Eminence. You know, and Marty can recite. Marty's one of those people that can recite every Derby winner in order.
That's a special talent. John Asher could do the same. I've tried. My memory is not that good. Barry Northern, who's our historian now over at the Kentucky Derby Museum, he likes to do that on his tours. He likes to go and say, all right, name a Derby winner, I'll tell you something special about him. And he named someone would name a Derby winner, and he would go say the year and, you know, an interesting fact that no one would know about him. And maybe one day I'll be able to expand my brain enough for that.
Well, you can do that. You can do that with Eagle playoff successes. There aren't that many, but you know, that's a little easier probably than Derby winners, right?
Maybe this year's the year.
You know, and I do want to take a second, and obviously we'll discuss this on Friday with Marty and James and Shap. You know, just looking at I saw the uproar. You know, the if you listen to this. If you listen to Tina's phone going off every 25 minutes, if you listen to the internet, they would have you cancel this race because it's not up to snuff, apparently, to the satisfaction of an impossible to satiate public. Just looking at this group, you've got. Well, you got the Kentucky Derby winner. You've got a horse like Folsom that is, I think, has won three or four graded stakes. You've got Last Samurai, who won the Oaklawn Handicap, the grade two. Wes Willpower is coming off the Fayette win. And who else? Proxy is a multiple graded stake placed type. I don't think he owns a graded stake win, but he's got multiple graded stake placements. Trademark is just a solid hard hitter, three-time winner. This Injunction, Carlo Vacareza, you know, coming off of a couple of, you know, good summer efforts, won the Cowboy Jones, so he's a stake winner, and multiple stake placed, and was second in the ACAC at the Senior Buscador. You know, not every race can have five grade one winners. There's nothing wrong with this field. Somebody's going to come out as a grade one winner beside Rich Strike, maybe. Maybe he becomes a multiple grade one winner.
And the one thing I would challenge people is think of the horses that are still in active training right now that are two-turn, mile and an eighth type horses. And you can't really name a whole lot of them. Cyberknife's going to the Pegasus, probably. He's, you know, hasn't worked back since the Breeders' Cup. Art Collector, Bruce Lunsford has said he's in South Florida going to prepare for the Pegasus. There's really, you know, no one left that's right now. And some years you get that. Some years you have a lot of horses that maybe have skipped the Classic or are going to run back after the Classic. And we really don't have that this year. And so, you know, but there are some new shooters in town. And it's an interesting field. Again, Proxy is very intriguing, making his first start off of that layoff. And then, of course, Westville Power, who was very impressive last time out down at Keeneland in the Fayette. Could he be the real deal and be the challenging pace setter in this field?
Yeah, I mean, just you mentioned Proxy, you know, who was third to Olympiad. Olympiad retired. Dynamic One beat him in the Blame, retired. Scalding. Scalding, I think, did he run Did he run Breeders' Cup week? Scalding?
Sounds familiar.
Right? Didn't he?
They all seem to run together this stage of the year, right?
A little bit, yeah. I think Scalding ran fairly recently. Yeah, I'm just looking down this list. Senior Buscador, I think Todd Fincher giving him some time off, and perhaps who else? Yeah, I mean those are the names. I don't know. Three Technique ran Breeders' Cup. I'm seeing him from the ACAC, third, of course.
And he's, you know, probably like Senior Buscador. They're, you know, horses that probably don't want to go a mile and an eighth. They're, you know, more mile or seven eighths types. And so it's just, you know, tough at this stage of the year when stallion duties are calling out those farms in Lexington. And, you know, a lot of horses went off to the wayside after this year's Breeders' Cup.
There's a couple of names, Tawny Port and Tis the Bomb from earlier this year. I was looking at Rich Strike's charts. Skippy Longstocking, King Fury. King Fury ran in the Lucas. Where's he?
He was nominated for this race, and McPeak passed the last minute. So I don't know if he had a hiccup come up, but he was, you know, originally targeting this race and then maybe a hiccup that came up.
Yeah, that's not like that. That's not like Kenny. Kenny, you don't have to worry about Kenny. You know, he's not somebody that shies away from the entry box. The Mrs. Revere, the mile and a 16th. How's the turf? Where do we stand on the turf situation?
You know, it's we got back on the turf. We've ran four races so far on the grass, you know, it's held up okay. It's a new and developing course, and you know, at this time of the year, I'm looking outside, the sun is shining right now, and the temperatures are actually going to be a little bit better this week. I think it's going up to almost 60 degrees today and tomorrow, and so I think the temperature wave should help the turf. It was you know, very cold last week, but it was pretty firm, and you know, most of the riders, if not all the riders, I didn't talk to all the riders, but all the ones that I've talked to seem to say, you know, the course is getting better, it's improving, and it's just a new course. And, you know, by this time next year, you know, in the prime growing season of the spring, I think it's really going to make a turnaround. And so Mrs. Revere's, you know, was one of those races that I always thought was, you know, just on the cusp of being a grade one. And then we had the off the turf event in 2020, and then 2021 we had the hiatus event. And so California Angel is a intriguing filly for George Leonard, who highlights the field for this year. And you know, it's gonna be a competitive race, and I'll be excited to see her back on this turf course, because I thought she was pretty impressive in her last two starts off a little bit of a layoff.
And actually, somewhat surprisingly, she's never run on the Churchill lawn at all. Just so happens that at the beginning of her career, when she broke her maiden at Kentucky Downs, then George ran her at Churchill on the main track. Interesting. And then, of course, turned around, won the Jessamine, and that got her into the Breeders' Cup. That was, you know, such a great story. She actually has run very well this fall. He put her away after Fairgrounds, gave her a good 5-6 months, and all three of her efforts in the Dueling Ground Oaks, the Queen Elizabeth, and the Valley View have been excellent. So he got her mojo back after some, you know, kind of a mediocre post Breeders' Cup. She kind of, yeah, I think she kind of, the wheels came off a little bit, but it seems like she's back on track, which is good.
Yeah, she returned to, you know, off quick rest too, you know, the last time. And so now she's has more than a month off, and I just saw her work the other day. She looks like she's full of herself too in the morning.
Sweet. And then, of course, should mention the Thanksgiving Day card. Got a maiden race in the fifth, which looks like a group of fillies that might have some real quality to it. You've got, as mentioned earlier, you got another maiden race for the boys too, going six as well. So there's obviously, I mean, considering that Saturday's card is all 2-year-olds, there's got to be tons of them. But you've got the Falls City and our friend Will Schwartz and Drew. They've got Leader of the Band coming back for John Service out of the Plum Pretty, where she was upset. She couldn't She couldn't catch her own stablemate, Love in the Air. But that's a good, that's a nice group, actually, that just a six. And then the Cardinal, big, actually nice, good-sized field in here, including a number of familiar names. Past the Plate for Paul McGee and Delica for Al Stahl. Adventuring, Brad Cox, Connor Murphy's got Sunny One. Curly Ruth, I'm a Curly Ruth fan, for Eddie Keneally. And Flippant, nice group, actually. That's a pretty nice late pick five on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a solid card to get ready for that Thanksgiving meal. 11:30 a.m. first post, so it gets you, plenty of time to get home for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, and that gets us to the big question. I know you answered this either last year or maybe the year before. The Kirstein family traditions, now with some baby birds to feed.
Yeah, I'm listening to the screaming kids upstairs. I'm in the basement right now, getting ready to run out of the house. And, it's Thanksgiving. I'm at the track until, pretty late. So we're doing our Thanksgiving today. And,
nice.
My wife and I aren't big turkey fans. And so I'm just making all the sides. I'm going to make green bean casserole. I'm going to make stuffing. I'm going to make mac and cheese. And then tons of desserts to go with it. So today is Thanksgiving Day at the Kirstein household.
How about that? Interesting. Neither of you like a turkey, huh?
I mean, we can do it, but it's like, we like our carbs here.
Well, you know what?
That's what we're going to go with.
I tell you what I'm going to send you, which might be a new tradition. I'm going to send you a brisket recipe. How about a brisket for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I love a brisket.
Right?
Love a good brisket.
All right. I'm going to send you a great recipe, and that'll be your project, not for today, but down the road. Maybe that'll be the new centerpiece for Kirstein Thanksgiving. KK, everybody, Horse Racing KK from the communications office at Churchill Downs. Kentucky Derby Future Wager, Pool 2, and the Sire Wager, which we'll talk about in a few minutes with Sid Fernando. KK, I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, and best of luck this week.
KK, folks, and there you go. Caught up for the next few days at Churchill. We'll pick it up again on Friday when we're joined by Marty and JB, James Scully and Scott Shapiro. So we'll touch on all those topics. Let's take the break. Although, should we take the break? Jason is going to be waiting for us. And then we got Sid. What do you think? Let's take the break. We're right on the money here at 57. All right, let's take our first break of two on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. It's stepson's birthday, Spencer. Happy suspense. While we do that here, you know what? Actually, I'll save the aqueduct for Andy. We had that fun. That was fun yesterday, meeting Patricia West, right? I'm really glad we got that in. I gave you the fairground stuff, right? I did. All right. That's clear. How about yesterday? Another good Monday job by Callie. And I'm glad we brought up Wendell Fong. Dark Horse Racing. This was a horse that Tally Lynch had trained originally for Al Gold. And you'll remember that back at Saratoga this summer, she went in and got Wendell Fong back. This is one of her favorite horses, and gets the first win since the claim. It was a good spot. And Wendell Fong and that three's overdeuces, that the two of Callie and I kind of steered you in that direction. That was a sequence worth looking at yesterday. And I think that's the last, right? That's the last of the Mondays that they're doing. That other allowance was the favorite came through, the Rodney Jenkins that that Callie pointed to. Treasure Tradition on the rail. He's actually won three of the last six. This is for Mrs. Charles, great first lady of Maryland Racing, Ellen Charles. And what was the middle? That was just the, it was a maiden race, right? Yeah, maiden claimer in the middle. Another alliteration. Tilted Tiara. 5-2 second choice for Claudio Gonzalez. And a South Carolina bred of Gory Smith. I love it. Done talking. Whenever you see Done talking. And this is our man, Joe Bessiger. Tilted Tiara. How many? I should ask Hammy and Gory how many. I mean, they breed all the South Carolina bred runners. I wonder how many there are at any one time. And the 7-pound bug aboard for Gonzalez in that spot. All right, so that was Laurel. I'll save the Del Mar, because there's a few things from Del Mar over the weekend. And again, Brad Freeze, terrific push. We have not talked about Justique. And she did it again. Came from downtown. And how about big effort? Chosen Braun with a big fig for Cruel Jack and Sanderica Racing. And then the Bafferts ran 1-2. Having a Meltdown and Newgate in the Bob Hope Desert Classic. I saw Bob Hope live once. I'll tell you that story. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide.